like to preach tonight at Philippians 3 and verse 7. Paul speaking here, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." I'd like to stop there with verse number 10. Would you pray with me tonight? Father, we thank You for, Father, Your Word tonight. We pray that You would just help us, Father, and enable us tonight to preach Your Word, we pray. Lord, we love You today. Father, help us to communicate all of the thoughts that You've given to us tonight, Lord. God, would You bless Your people, Lord? There's needs right here, Jesus. God, as I think of missions, it's not just places, Lord, but it's people and their needs. Help us to minister tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. I'd like to center my thoughts around verse number 10, where Paul is speaking, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Tonight I'd like to preach on the passions of Paul. My thoughts as I was studying this, I suppose that Philippians is my favorite book of the New Testament. And in fact, I preached from Philippians this morning, chapter number 2. Amen. As I was thinking about this, the book of Philippians is the most personable epistle that Paul ever wrote. There's no contention there. There's no disagreement among them. If you read 1 Corinthians, there was contention because they were challenging Paul's authority as an apostle of Christ. Galatians, they were refusing the liberty of Christ, that Christ was the answer, Christ was the one that could set them free. And they were going back to the Jewish law. But here in Philippians, Brother Shad, they just, number one, they loved Paul. And Paul loved them. In fact, they loved him so much, they sent Epaphroditus to see how Paul was doing. And in verse or chapter number 1, we read that Paul was careful to tell them how his estate is, all the things that were transpiring. Paul is writing from a Jewish or from a Roman prison cell. And then he shares how much that he loves that church. How much that he noticed their care for him. And as I preached this morning in chapter number 2, Paul challenges them to commit their lives to Christ. I preached this morning on qualities of commitment to have confidence in who they were and to have a character about them and a consecration and a consolation that they would soon hear those words, "Well done." In verse number 3, or chapter 3, my favorite book, or favorite chapter of this book, Paul simply shares his own feelings. In other words, if we could just look into the heart of this great man of God, this is what he'd say. Now he starts off and he begins to tell them in verse number 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." He says a few things on and he says in verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Now understand, church, Paul's not boasting. No. As he shares these things in verses 5 and 6, he's not boasting about what he was. And if Paul, he says, if anybody could have confidence, Paul could have. Right. He says, "Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Yeah. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Uh-huh. You see, Paul was doing everything he knew to do, trying to please God. Yeah. I was reading not long ago, reading the biography of John Wesley. And John Wesley was a great man of God. And as he went out from the Anglican church and went into the open field and began to preach, and God really blessed his ministry. Before this time, he went to Georgia under the command of James Oglethorpe, and he began to preach the Word of God there. He was desirous to reach those Indians for the Lord, the Yamacraw and the Cherokee. He had a great burden for them. Only after 3 years of ministry, Brother Shad, he realized that the Christ he was preaching to reach others and to change other people's lives, he didn't even know himself. Amen. And so he went back to England defeated, discouraged, until he was in a little service one day, in a little prayer meeting. And the Spirit of God moved on his heart. And he realized that Christ died for him, for John Wesley. And John Wesley got saved that day. And thus ensued a great move of God all over England because of this desire of one man to communicate his love for the Lord and how Christ could change their lives as well. I believe that that is what Paul felt like. After he'd done all of these things, he'd done the very best he could after the Jewish faith. And yet he himself didn't even know the Lord like he thought he did. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Y'all going to help me tonight?
Yeah,
glory to God. Amen. Paul tells them concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You remember the day that Paul was on the road to Damascus, and on that road he sees a great shining light that is from heaven, and he hears a voice, and the others around him, they can't understand what the voice says, but Paul knows what it says.
Yeah.
And Paul falls down to the ground and he cries out. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." You see, for several years of the life of Paul, over 30 years, or about 30 years of his life, he tried to do his very best. He tried to do everything right. He had a great zeal. He was doing everything according to the law to be blameless. In other words, he was a good, upstanding citizen of Jewish society that loved God with all of his heart, but didn't know him. Amen. And there on the road to Damascus, he meets the Lord Jesus. And the Lord changes his life forever. Amen. Oh, praise God. I know I'm not the kind of preacher you're probably used to hearing, amen? But oh, bless God that as Paul came in contact with Jesus, Jesus did the same thing for Paul that he did for you and me. I remember I wasn't raised in church. I didn't even get saved till I was 13. My mom and daddy, they were hippies growing up, and we had a lot of fun, amen? Their clothing style and the way they looked, and no, but my, I didn't even know the Lord, never been to church, never read the Bible, didn't know who Jesus Christ even was. Until one day somebody gave me a Bible. And I read the book of Matthew. I read the whole book in one night. Amen. Put some Christians to shame. Amen. And I was confronted with this Savior that loved humanity, that he didn't like this hypocrisy that he saw all around him, but he loved sincerity. And that night I remember kneeling down at my bedside and I said, "Lord, I don't even know you, but you know me."
All right.
I said, "Lord, if you'd come into my life." I said, "My neighbor told me that if I asked you into my heart, then you would come into my heart and you would change my life." Amen. That very night, from being a sinner on his road to hell, the Lord Jesus came into my life and he made me a child of God. He made me a saint of the Most High God. I changed everything about me. Amen. I started going to church. Amen. Started reading my Bible. Started loving the Lord as the Lord loved me. And friend, can I tell you, that's the best decision that I ever made. As I was saved back then. You know, I often wish I knew more than I did. I didn't know what sanctification was and regeneration and a lot of these things. But I wish I knew a chorus that I love so much. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. I, who was wretched and poor, now can say, praise God. Praise God. I'm a child of the King. I walked out of my room. "What's wrong, son?" And my daddy, he was an atheist. He was a hard man when it came to religion. I said, "Dad, for the first time in my life, nothing is wrong. Everything's right." I told him that Jesus had saved my soul, that I was on my road to heaven. And he looked at me, amen, kind of like what some of you are looking at me tonight. Amen. Like, who is this fella? Amen. Oh, praise God. I was saved. Now, Paul writes this. After he'd done all of these things, that lived this lifestyle, didn't even know the Lord, but during this time when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, Paul came in contact with the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And after 3 days, as Ananias went to him and prayed for him, Paul received his sight. And Paul was baptized with the Holy Ghost. And friend, that thus ensued the pursuit of God from a man named Paul. Paul was a man of passion. Are you with me tonight, church? He was a man of passion. In just a little over 12 years of his life, or a dozen years of his life, Paul evangelized 4 provinces of Asia. He's the model missionary that there ever was, amen, to take the gospel to be a converted sinner and to take the gospel to other lands. And Paul was the man that did it all. And assuming his own credentials were nothing. He said all of these things, but what things were profit to me or what things were gain, those I counted loss for Christ. Amen. In other words, church, they didn't mean anything to Paul. All of the things that he had done, all of the things he'd aspired to be, the level or the respect that he'd gained from the others, it didn't even matter to Paul, because now something else mattered, and that was to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it was these passions that Paul speaks of in verse number 10 that turned this man that was a persecutor into a great saint and a great evangelist for God. I'd like to preach on these things that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul writes these words about 20 years later from this Roman prison cell, and he's still pounding in his heart that I might know Him. You'd think, church, that he knew God close enough. Amen. I mean, the things that I read about Paul, he said, hey, I speak in tongues more than ye all. Amen?
Yeah.
I speak in tongues more than ye all. He goes on to say, beside all this, the care of the church rests on me daily. Paul was not a lazy man. He was busy doing the work of God. But during this time of his life, amen, the Bible says that God wrought special miracles from the hand of Paul.
Right.
But yet in Paul's heart, is several years later, Paul is still saying, oh, I may know Him.
Amen.
Oh, that I may know Him better. Paul's passion was that he might know the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God, help me tonight. I'd like to communicate to you the way I feel tonight about these Scriptures. As Paul is speaking through, and Epaphroditus is writing and penning these words, he's telling the church in Philippi, he's saying, hey, listen, church, I've come a long way from where I was, but here in this Roman cell, I want you to know all my desires that I still might know Him better. Oh, the passion of Paul to know this Savior. Amen. The one that he chose to walk with. The one that he prayed, amen, to. The one that he delighted in. Listen, friend, he still loved his Savior and wanted to know Him better. Amen. This passion of Paul, that I may know Him. That I may know more about Him. What about you, saint? Tonight? When you get done with your work day or even throughout the work day, is there a desire in your heart that you might know the Lord better? I mean, sometimes, brother, as good as the service is, and as the Spirit of God moves through the sanctuary, when I get back in that little trailer, or when I come off that mountain and go back to our apartment in Venezuela, there's still a desire to find a place of prayer and to call out to God and say, Lord Jesus, I've been in Your presence today, but oh, that I might know You better. It disturbs me today in our churches that we've got so many that have been raised in church and they know so much about the Lord. I remember when I took a youth pastor to church, and first service I asked the young people if they could quote a scripture, and they said, oh yes, we can quote a scripture. And one of them said, Jesus wept. I thought, praise God, Jesus wept. Amen. Doing good. I said, can anybody else share a scripture with me? And so one of them popped up and said, hey, Brother Joe, I've got a scripture. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I said, praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? I'm talking about a young people's group or a youth group that was raised in church all of their life. They didn't even know any other scriptures. I've had many of them come and say, Brother Joe, I feel a call to preach. I youth pastor for 8 years. Amen. I suffered brain damage and just now getting over it, the side effects of doing that. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. But I want you to know that many times a young person would come to me and they say, Brother Joe, I feel a call to preach. I want to do a work for God. How do you do it? Just, you know, give me the quick rundown of what I need to do. I'm going to hit the road and go.
All right.
I said, have you prayed today? Have you read your Bible today? Do you really know this Savior that wants to know you and use you? And I had many a time that you just bowed their head and walked away. Church, I'm not talking about just knowing about Him. In the Spanish language, there's a way to ask somebody, do you know Him? And we would use the word saber, do you know Him? S-A-B-E-R, do you know Him? Sabes a Él. And what that means, do you know about Him? Have you heard of Him? If I was to walk up to an Indian today or some other day or whatever, I would ask him, Amen, Sabes a Él, have you heard about Jesus? But friend, it's just not enough to hear about Him. You've got to know Him. Amen. You've got to know Him. We have another verb in Spanish we use, conocer. And it's like saber means, do you know Him? Do you know about Him? So, conocer means, do you really know Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? There's many times in those barrios, oh yeah, we know about Jesus. I'm telling you, 96% Roman Catholic, they know He's the Son of God. But as far as the life-changing ability for Christ to come in their life and to change the way they live, to take away their sin, they don't really know Him. And listen, friend, tonight we've got far too many people that are comfortable in our churches and they know the miracles, they've heard the best sermons, but really knowing the Lord and really following the Lord, they just know about Him. Amen. But Paul wanted to know Him. He wanted to have a continual relationship with this Savior, to follow Him, to know about Him, to learn His ways. Oh, praise God. The Bible says about this man that he received the gospel in the Arabian desert from the Lord Himself. He had an experience with God. But listen, friend, it wasn't how good the experience was. But did he still have it in that Roman cell? Did he still know Him? And Paul knew Him. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Are they always this quiet for you, Brother Shadow? They're just listening. Amen. Praise the Lord. That I may know Him. Paul's passion. He goes on to say, and the power of His resurrection. Amen. Now, as Paul's speaking these things, his passions, that he may know the Lord, that he may have a fellowship with God. Oh, I can just imagine Paul poring over the Word of God. I think of great men like Hudson Taylor that they say, or his own family said, that he would rise every day at 2 o'clock in the morning and for 2 hours from 2 to 4 he would read his Bible and he would pray. And they asked him, oh, what keeps you going so long and so hard, Brother Hudson Taylor, after you have you've evangelized every province in China? What continues to cause you to drive yourself so hard? That others might know Him as I've known Him. Oh, praise God. I think of Stanley Dale, the martyr missionary to Papua New Guinea, when after he'd done all that he could and he was doing well in life. He was a champion boxer and he was going up the ranks. He finally realized that there was more to life than money and fame. And he got saved. And so he penned in his little journal the famous statement after he was speared through. It's been a statement passed down from generation to generation. He said, my life is too precious to waste on myself. Oh, that others might know Him. Amen. And as we go on tonight, Paul's passions, praise God. The second thing Paul said, and the power of His resurrection. If there was something that characterized Paul's ministry, it was power. And church, oh God, help us tonight. I believe as a missionary, and I'll stand by what I say, I don't believe that the Lord Jesus desires the gospel to be spread in word only. Did you hear me tonight? In word only, I don't believe that God intends the gospel to be spread. but He desires to demonstrate His power to a lost generation, a lost society, some that are undone, some that are in darkness. He wants them to know that this power of God is for them, and He can reach out and touch them.
Amen.
Amen. Paul says that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse 4, he said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God."
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's many times as we're down there in Caracas and going down the streets, and oh, I tell you what, there's poor and there's the blind and the halt and in wheelchairs everywhere around us. There's the gang member. There's the prostitute. There's every possible person you can think of around us. Oh, I tell you, I remember one time I was called out of a service on a Sunday morning. And there's this lady that come up to the church and she said, "Oh, Brother Joe, would you come down and pray for my husband?" And so I left the little, we were just about to start. I walked out and I went down the mountain about a quarter mile and I turned into his little shack there. It's a little about a 10 by 10 room. And there was this man that was slithering like a snake on his bed. And he was demon possessed. And he was crying out. He was prophesying. And he was telling the world that he was the Messiah. That he'd come to save the world. This wasn't a saved man. Amen. As I began to pray for him, you could feel the oppression there, and you could feel the eeriness right there in the barrio. They beat the drums, the witches do, and they have themselves their own service on Sunday and call on their spirits and chant and levitate and do other things. But right there in that room, there was a man that was depending on the power of God, and it had to come, amen, through my prayers and my desire for God to touch him. As he walked around the room that day, that morning, he was cursing and he was angry. He got agitated when I was praying. He got up from the bed and started walking around the room. And I thought, oh, my, what is going on here? As he turned toward me and his teeth were clenched, his fists were clenched, and he looked at me. I said, "In the name of Jesus, I bind you." Listen, friend, he was relying on something that I had to, amen, to communicate deliverance to him. Are you with me tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. He needed the power of God. When I cried that, or when I said that to him, "I bind you in the name of Jesus," he fell down on his knees and he began to cry out. He said, "Please pray for me." A missionary, all that it means is a sent one. One that goes out, one that reaches out, a sent one. And friend, tonight the pattern of the New Testament church is that they received the Word of God. Amen. They prayed and the place was shaken. And they went out and they preached the Word of God with boldness. They were looking for the Spirit of God to move. And God help me tonight. We were up in, we were up in Russellville, Arkansas this year. And I had preached for them there and I had to move on in a few days, but I had 3 days rest. Boy, it felt good. Amen. And God just orchestrated. He orchestrated every one of my children fell asleep at the same time in the afternoon. Shout amen. Praise God. 3 hour naps. Come on now. Amen. I'm the kind of guy, I got to get up at 6:30 to pray before they wake up. Amen. Because once they wake up, there is no way. And then at nighttime when they go to bed, I mean trying to get them to bed at 8:30. By 10 o'clock, they're asleep. Praise God. From 10 to 11, I got some time to pray, some time to study. But listen, friend, for 3 hours and for 3 days, I got to go up to that church and right there in Russellville, Arkansas, and find a place at that altar and pray. Well, I was praying there one day. The first day I went in there, and my heart was just so desirous to know Him better. I got down to that altar, began to pray, and God began to speak to me and deal with me. And He said, "Son, why don't you believe me?" I said, "Lord, I believe you. I believe in your power, the demonstration of your Spirit. I believe these things." He said, "Son, you believe that I can, but do you believe that I will? Son, you believe that I can, but do you believe that I will?" God help us.
All right.
That we might have a passion to know the power of His resurrection. That it drives us. Listen, friend, it drives us to minister to those. Amen. Let's not take the tuck head when somebody's sick or somebody's diseased. Amen. We were in a hospital in Evansville, Indiana, not very long ago. And the pastor took me up there to pray for a man. And right there in that hospital room, listen, friend, I was past the place of believing God could do it. I believed God would do it. As we prayed for that old man there, he must have been somewhere 75, 80 years old. Amen. The Lord reached down and touched him right in that hospital bed. That man raised up from that bed and he went home. Hey, listen, friend, God wants us, amen, to be agents of the power of God to this world. To this world. He wants us to believe and live in an environment that we believe and can believe and do believe for the miraculous to happen at any moment. That's what God wants. God wants us that when we confront a sinner on these streets, we don't just don't tell them God loves them, but we share the gospel with them. And we ask them, do you want deliverance? I'll never forget Wilfredo, man. He was a tough case down there in Caracas. He gave us a hard time. And I'd been witnessing to him and giving him tracts and talking with him. He didn't live very far from where we were at. And we were passing by there in a little booth. And man, I got the best evangelistic team you'd ever want. Praise God. I got an official greeter, Isaac. He goes before us and he says, hola, hola. Get everybody's attention. Praise God. I love it. And sometimes he messes up and he says, ciao, which means bye. And I'll say, no, son, don't say hello. Hello. Amen. And I'll go down the street and getting people's attention and people gathering around. And Nadia, she's my spotter. She spots people that she feels like we should witness to and give tracts to. And one time she pointed over there and she said, Daddy, you need to give that person a tract over there. She said, you need to go talk to that person about Jesus. I said, honey, I'll go talk to them about Jesus. You go over there and you give them a tract. She said, oh no, Daddy, that's your job. Amen. But praise God. To know and to believe, to be persuaded that when we confront a hard case, brother, we were with Wilfredo, we prayed for him. He wanted to know more about the gospel. He was, man, he had a look of steel, you know, about him. He's so angry with life, bitter at everybody, didn't love anybody. And as we prayed for him that day and we dealt with him 5 weeks later, I walked in his little shack and he said, Brother Joe, what will I feel if I get saved? I said, Wilfredo, you will feel like a brand new person. You'll feel the peace of God. You'll feel power in your life to live for God. You need it, Wilfredo. He said, that's what I want to feel. Listen, friend, the world is looking for a genuineness about us. We have enough hypocrites in the world today, enough people that say they're Christians, but really in their life and in their demonstration, their actions, they're nothing more than just somebody that says they're something. And they're really not. Is that all right, preaching?
Come on. Amen. Come on.
But God help us. God give us somebody that has such a passion to communicate, amen, to stay and to pray and to get a hold of God to the point that when we go out on those streets, we believe that God will manifest His power, that the dead can be raised, amen, that those that are sick will be delivered. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe in Me. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I say tonight, why can't it be for today? Why can't it be for today? Brothers and sisters, I'm tired of service after service and meeting after meeting. But when we go out on these streets, we have no effect because we have no power. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, tonight we need to have a passion to see the demonstration of the power of God, that when somebody comes in contact with us, they know, amen, they know that something's different. I was with a buddy of mine, man. We were down at UTA, and there's this woman. She's, man, she was something else. And she was, we preaching, and she was making a scene, you know, down to college campus. We'd gone up there to testify. And she said, hey, preacher. And she's, you know, mocking him and things. And so my buddy said, why don't you come over here and I'll pray for you. And so she strutted around and she was trying to show off for them boys. And she said, well, she said, I bet you if you pray for me, nothing will happen. So she came over to my buddy. He's a great praying man.
And as he set his hand on her head, you'd have thought she'd got branded on the forehead. Amen. She went to hooper and hollering and shouting and running around. Brother, she felt the power of God. She felt the conviction of God. Listen, friend, there's a lost world that's depending on the church to have the power of God, depending on the church, amen, to pray and to stay until we see it in this generation in our lives. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, church. God wants to use you. God wants somebody that has a desire to see His power move in this generation. Since God dealt with me in Russellville, Arkansas, we've seen healings. We've seen deliverances. My own wife was healed of, what's that called, honey? Scoliosis in the parking lot of a church. We've seen God do things. Listen, friend, God wants to move today. And He wants His power to be made known. But He's short on people that have a passion to see it happen. Paul goes on to say that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. And as Paul, as I was thinking about this and dwelling on this tonight, I thought Paul wasn't like some that just went through a storm and weathered it well. Do you know what I'm talking about, church?
Yeah.
They suffered for His namesake and they made it. Somehow God helped him. God gave him grace and they made it. That wasn't like Paul. That's not what he was saying.
No.
Paul had a passion to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. Amen. I don't know if this is touching anybody, but man, it blessed my heart as I was thinking about Paul. Oh man, I tell you what, the Bible says about this man that he said, 5 times have I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, a day and a night have I been in the deep. He says several things there, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in cold and nakedness and weariness and painfulness, in watchings often. All of these things happened to Paul. But he said, I must see Rome. He had a desire to go on.
Yeah.
He wasn't looking at the circumstances. He was looking at what God could do through his life.
Right.
When he made it to Rome, as he pens these words to the Philippians, he still has a passion to know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings. And this is what I believe it means. Paul had such a desire to know the Lord that he counted it joy when he suffered for His namesake.
Amen.
That Paul loved. Now listen, try to get a hold of this tonight. Paul had a passion to suffer for the Lord. He had a desire to know the Lord, to feel what the Lord felt. Amen. To feel as all of these things happened to the Lord and as they happened to Paul. Paul wasn't feeling sorry for himself. Amen. Paul didn't get a bad attitude. He didn't get all bent out of shape. But oh, how he loved. Oh, how he loved to live for God. He said, the love of Christ constraineth me. You know, in one place he says in his book of Philippians, chapter number 1, after all these things happened to Paul, Paul says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, friend, he wasn't looking at the chains. He wasn't looking at all the stripes on his back. He wasn't recounting the times that he was whipped. But in a cell one night, amen, about midnight, he was singing praises to God. Amen. But here in this Roman prison cell, Paul, this passion to know the Lord and the fellowship of His sufferings, he says this way, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now what is he saying? He's saying, oh, thank God that these sufferings happen because they've benefited the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend tonight, what is your passions? I know a lot of people got hobbies in this life. I once knew a man, he's still living today. He mortgaged his home so he could buy an old junker car and fix it up. I thought, man, he sunk $20,000 into that car and it still wasn't just right. Amen. I've been around a while and I know, man, some ladies, they got a hobby for shopping. Amen. Shop till you drop. Amen. Walmart twice a week's just got to happen. Praise the Lord. Hobbies. But you know, a lot of times if we're not real careful, hobbies will keep us from doing the things we need to be doing. But friend, I'll tell you what Paul's hobby was. It was a passion burning in his heart to know the Savior. It was that desire to know the Lord, to know His power, and to know the fellowship of His sufferings that caused him to do the things that he did. It caused him to do the good things, the right things. And friend, tonight I know that as Paul did all of these things and as he gave his life for the Lord, as Paul was beheaded, I know that some may have said, well, he died a defeated man. No family, no comfort. But friend, in the moment that he died, he passed into the presence of the Lord. Amen. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Could you imagine as Paul went into those gates and Jesus met him there and said, Paul, you had passion in this life for me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. God, give us people a passion today. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for your
praise the Lord.
Oh, God.
Glory be to God. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Church, do you want to live for Jesus?
Yes.
Do you want to please the Lord?
Yes.
Are you willing to do anything or whatever it takes to please the Lord? Then let's cultivate a passion to know Him, would you? Father, we thank You tonight. We love You, Lord, for Your goodness and mercy. God, that You saved us, each one, Father, by Your power and Your grace. And God, tonight, as we live life and life gets in the way, Lord, help us, Father, to have priorities right and have motives, Father, that are pure, that we might know You. The power of Your resurrection, Lord. God, that we might see others brought to You. And fathers, we live this life for You no matter what happens. Father, let us rejoice in the Lord always. And as Paul said again, I say rejoice. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just come and find a place to pray tonight. Would you come?